One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If he wants to rush into something new with someone else to keep to this fucking timeline that he has inside his head, then fine. Let him. And you can feel good in knowing that this is clear proof that you were not compatible. He is okay with a different kind of relationship than you are. You want the real deal. He just wants to be married. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, inventor of sleepover, keeper of secrets. What's said at the sleepover stays at the sleepover. Welcome to the show, lover girls. Happy to have you. New faces, old faces, whatever it is. Happy to have you here. Everyone's invited. Come on now. You know how it goes around here. I'd like to officially announce that I have been having an I Like It by Enrique Iglesias summer. And I would like to be clear that I have been having an I Like It by Enrique Iglesias summer since before this song seems to have resurged on social media. I don't know if I'm just that fucking plugged in to the culture right now that I knew somehow deep in my bones that I Like It was going to have a resurgence. I don't know. Or maybe if I am the resurgence. Yeah, I started it. And there's nothing more to say about that. That reminds me of in high school, my friend Kayla and I, we were convinced that we coined the term struggle bus. Like, and to be honest with you, it's been so long that at this point I'm like, wait, like, did we? Like, did we coin the term struggle bus? But this summer, I'm having an I Like It by Enrique Iglesias summer. And really what that means is I'm leaning into the heat. I'm being flirty. I'm being sexy. And I'm listening to Jersey Shore classics no matter where I am, whether I'm on the boardwalk or stuck in my apartment. Or not stuck, but rather choosing to be in my apartment because I need to be near an air conditioner at all times or I become a bitch. We all know that. Don't want to be near me if I'm hot. And it's getting really hot in New York. Like, it's so unenjoyable. It's getting to the point where it's actually a struggle to leave the house on the struggle bus, some would say. Just leaving the house to go get groceries. I'm like, it's too hot out. I'm going to go outside and it's going to ruin the rest of my day. Also, like, fuck having a good hair day in this humidity. I go outside for 4 seconds. I have, like, pin straight hair. Did it all good. It's all sleek and shiny and beautiful. Gorgeous even. Go outside, all of a sudden it is frizzy as hell and also tangled as hell. Oh my god, I thought I was gonna have to rip my whole head of hair out after spending a night out last week to celebrate 15 years on YouTube. Of course, we hit the bar, we were having a good time, we were outside for most of the night, and when I came home I literally couldn't brush through my hair, and it's because of the humidity. I wasn't even doing anything crazy. We were literally sitting talking. Like, what business did my hair have being in a knot after that? It is literally just the air outside. That's cuckoo bananas. So some friends and I went out to a bar to celebrate my 15-year YouTube anniversary, and it was really an opportunity to be flirty. And that is the vibe that I'm bringing to the function this summer. It's a makeout summer, regardless of if you are actually making out or not. This is the I Like It by Enrique Iglesias energy of it all. Baby, I like it. The way you move on the floor. Baby, I like it. Come on and give me some more, okay? We're talking just like sexy, sweaty. I want to see upper thigh and I want to see midriff like nobody's fucking business, okay? So there I was walking up to the bar, going to get a drink. All of a sudden, I've got 3 people talking to me and I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'll play along. I'll flirt. Listen, it's been a minute since I've been in the dating flirting game, particularly IRL. Obviously, I started dating again a couple months ago, but that's been mostly online and on dating apps. It's been a minute. since I have been out and about and open to flirting at the same time, okay? She's been a little closed off for the last couple of years for a range of reasons. Some discussed on my Patreon last week. So we'll leave it at that. But it's been a minute for me. And there I was at the bar flirting it up. And I left being like, ugh, there is nothing better than flirting with people you have no intention of speaking to again. There is nothing better than that. And honestly, it was like revisiting the ancient texts for me. I used to be such a lover of saying something bananas and then locking my phone and going to bed. I used to be such a major perpetrator of sending the nastiest, raunchiest thing my brain could think up and then immediately going to sleep. Same energy works so well with IRL flirting, but doing so much less. You don't have to be raunchy at all. You're just leaning into the flirting, being a little extra, doing the most, being extra flirty. Zero intention of ever seeing them again. Just enjoying the moment, living in those vibes. Getting to do that last week, I felt like I was reconnecting with a version of myself that I haven't seen in so long. I was like, oh, yeah, this is what life is about, babe. I love flirting hard, heavy-handed flirting with people I never intend to meet up with, hook up with, even make out with past that point. I didn't make out with anyone. Despite me saying it's a makeout summer, I literally was strictly flirting, but that was my vibe. This is the energy that I've been on. I was talking about this on the Patreon last week where it's like, not only is it a makeout summer and nothing else. I want to make out and do nothing. Nobody try to progress things or escalate it further. I have no interest in hooking up. I just want to make out. And also, I have an interest in heavy, heavy-handed flirting with no escalation at all. No makeouts, no meetups, no hooking up, no even discussing it further. Saying something so truly hot and diabolical and flirtatious and then being like, and I gotta go now and I'm going to bed. I'll see you guys later though. You have a good night. And then you just leave. This is something fun that I like to do. And I forgot that I liked to do it. So I've been reconnecting with a version of my past self lately. We're having a good summer, and I Like It by Enrique Iglesias summer. You come to me bringing I Like It by Enrique Iglesias energy, or you don't come at all. Girl, please excuse me if I'm coming too strong. Please excuse me. I'm going to do it anyways, though. Ooh, and then I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave as quickly as I came. Girl, please excuse me if I'm coming too strong. But tonight is the night we can really let go. And by let go, I mean you letting go of this idea of me that I've created in a 30-second time space. Because I'm gone. I already left the bar. I'm at home. I went to bed. I locked my phone. You won't be hearing from me. Good night, everybody. And honestly, I'm telling you, this is a major key. If you don't flirt when you're out and about, if you don't bring flirting into your life enough because you're too nervous or too scared, I swear to God, you take this kind of approach, you'll never be worried about it again. Because it's like, I'm probably never going to see them again. I don't really intend to. I'm flirting for the joy of flirting. Okay? It's an energy I bring with me to the function when I'm feeling social and open to it. And these days, I'm feeling social and open to it. What can I say? Brand new segment I'm bringing to the Emotionally Online Cinematic Universe. And that segment is called, and I've always said that. And I've literally always said that, bestie. Everyone knows it. Everyone's been talking about it. I have literally been saying that. And I've always fucking said that. This is a quote that comes out of my mouth at least 3 times a week. Anytime I hear anyone give me a hot take that I'm like, oh, absolutely. My immediate response to hearing that hot take is always me saying, and I've always said that. Even if I've never said it before in my life, it does not fucking matter. You give me a hot take that I agree with, and I've always fucking said that. And I was the first person who ever said it. And I've been trying to get people on board with this for years. So Lover Girls, please welcome to the podcast. And I've always said that. A segment for sharing my hot takes. My hot take of the week. I genuinely cannot think of anything less romantic than having a wedding basically live streamed or live posted on the internet. Or even having to spend 30 seconds of my day thinking about maximizing content on a day about celebrating true love. Additionally, I think there is something a little bit dangerous in insinuating that you owe your followers the kind of intimacy of feeling like they attended your wedding, because without them, your bills don't get paid. I don't care how much money is involved. You literally don't owe anyone intimate details of your personal life. Keyword owe. You can share as much as you want, but you don't owe anyone any of those details. And I think it is dangerous to position it like that. And I've literally always said that. I just feel like there's this new trend of every social media personality that gets married. Everyone's, number one, calling it the royal wedding. And people are hiring people to live post on TikTok and Instagram and whatever at their wedding. I don't know if maybe this is, again, this is when Boomer Maddie comes out to play in my long form supremacy hat. Okay. I get it. I'm a YouTube girl. I'm a long form girl. I don't claim to fully understand what the fuck is going on short form platforms. I don't think I ever will. Maybe this is one of those moments where I'm like, somebody's going to look at this and be like, you just don't fucking get it. And I'm going to be like, you know what? You're right. I don't. Because I can't imagine why someone would want to have their wedding live streamed, live posted, whatever the fuck. That feels bizarre to me. I love the idea of getting your photos back or a video back from the photographer and videographer months later and posting a little dump, letting people know what was going on, doing a little long form recap, but outside of the present moment. There's something about the live factor of it all that I'm just not into. When I'm getting married, I want to hire people to do photography and videography, not social media style. I want like classic cinematic type documenting of this moment. And if I want to use those videos or those photos in a creative project that I do, then I will do that, you know? But also, like, that's half the fun of it for me, is like taking the content and turning it into something else, turning it into a video, a digital scrapbook, using it as B-roll while I'm doing voiceover, or I don't know, just putting my own little spin on it, on my own timeline, on my own terms. You know, like when you as an audience member consume pieces of my life or bits of information from me, it is rarely, if ever, in real time. I am almost always posting on a delay. Number one, because it's editing time. I do mostly long form content, but even my short form content, most of that is not in real time either. And I prefer it that way. And I actually, funny enough, I had something about this written in my notes like a year ago, in just observing how there was this shift happening where people were posting in real time a lot more often than they used to. And there's been more of this shift happening where people are living at the same exact time that they're posting. There's no editing time or turnaround time or even time to like sit and think before you post. You're literally just recording a 30-second TikTok video, immediately uploading that shit and not thinking about it. And obviously that is not how my brain works, but it is interesting to witness this like new generation of content creators, how a lot of it is this like IRL, same day, same time turnaround, that to me feels like a violation of privacy. Like, I don't want to share things in real time. I need to go experience the moment for myself, document it here and there, and then do the creating separately from the moment itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to post things in real time. I want to have time to sit back, soak everything in, have my reflections, have something more meaningful to say than just like, here, this is happening right now. Right now, it's happening, and I didn't think more than 15 seconds before uploading this video. Like, I actually don't want to do that. I understand it's easier, and it's like, again, this culture of convenience that we're moving towards that I just fucking hate. I hate all of it. I think that there needs to be a major switch back in the opposite direction. I want y'all to start taking so much fucking longer to post videos. Every podcast, I need you to now switch your posting schedule to every 2 weeks instead of every one. We've gone too far. Like, we need to take more time on the things that we're creating. This is not me saying the podcast is going to every 2 weeks instead of every one. It's very much not. But you get the sentiment here. You get the point. For a wedding specifically, though, I'm like, when I think about being married, when I think about my wedding day, I wouldn't say that I'm someone who has dreamt about a wedding my whole life. I've definitely thought about it, you know? But like, when some people are like, I already know what my wedding dress is going to look like, I know everything. I'm like, I don't. I haven't thought about a lot of those things, but I think about some of it, you know? I've thought about like how big I'd want my wedding to be, if I want a big wedding or a small wedding. I think the reality is I have a really big family, so probably my version of small is probably already big by default. Obviously, I've thought about photography style, videography style, but those are things that I already know about myself because I'm just cued into that. Also, worth noting for any new listener of the show, not that you didn't already understand this from me having an I Like It by Enrique Iglesias summer, but I am very much single and nowhere near married. But if I was gonna get married fucking this weekend, when I tell you, when that weekend comes, you bitches would not be seeing me posted up on Instagram. Now, to each their own, right? But as Emotionally Online's resident romantic, I feel qualified to say that I don't find the like news level social media coverage of a wedding to be romantic in the slightest. And I do not understand why anyone would want to do that. It just seems miserable. Even if you have someone else to document and do the content for you, I'm kind of like, nobody needs to know that. Nobody needs to get the real time recap of my wedding as if they are also there. You're not there. You are not there because I do not know you. I want to spend this day with my new fucking married partner, fiance turned husband, wife, whoever. I want to spend it with them and my best friends, my family members, all these other people. I do not need anyone from the internet knowing what is going on my wedding day in real time. I think that things should be on a delay. I don't think you need to know the second that it's happening. When I get married, social media content is not even in the top 20 of my priorities. Obviously, I want it to be well-documented photo, video, but creating social media content from that is just not... I want it documented for my own memories. I don't give a fuck if this random person from South Dakota feels like they were involved in my wedding. It is not romantic to me to think that all of these random strangers would be so intimately involved in my wedding day, or that they would have all that information. You don't need to know. You don't need to know. You need to know what I tell you. And what I don't tell you is none of your fucking business. And when I tell you it is going to be on my terms. And there are some things in life that I would like to keep just for me. Just for me. At least for a little bit. You know what I mean? Let me keep it just to me for a couple months. And then I'll tell you. And then I'll show you. Whatever it is. I don't like IRL posting. I don't. I think there needs to be a delay. Whether it is 2 days or a week or a month or a year, or you never share it ever at all. Like, I think that some moments should just be for you. And a wedding seems like a perfect example of something that should just be for you. Now, obviously, when I get married, you guys will fucking know, but I can promise you it won't be in real time. Nay, nay, it will not be in real time. You will not have intimate access into what my wedding day looks like on the day itself. I don't like that at all. I don't think it's romantic. And I've literally always said that. Is the wellness world making you feel like you're just not doing enough lately, not drinking enough water, don't have the most extensive skincare routine possible? When really, what you should be doing is probably seeing a real doctor, one that can actually help you figure out what the right health plan is for you, not just what the most trendy plan is. And ZocDoc makes that part easy by giving you tons of doctors to choose from and letting you book in seconds directly on their website. If you've never heard of them, them, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with over 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, dermatology, whatever it is, they've got doctors waiting for you over on ZocDoc. You can filter for doctors that take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical needs you have, and are highly rated by verified patients. And you can also filter based on specific preferences as well. If you want to make sure to get a female doctor or a doctor that speaks a specific language, doctors that have same day openings, whatever it is, once you find the right doctor, you'll be able to see their actual appointment openings and click and instantly book an appointment right on the website. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline, ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. Let's hop on over to some of these audience submissions. Lover girls, listeners of the show, attendees of the slumber party, if you have anything going on in your life that you would like to submit to maybe be discussed on the show, topics, advice requests, am I the asshole, is literally anything your brain can think up, feel free to throw it on over in the submission box and I will maybe read it out on the show. So let's jump into our first submission here. A little over a year and a half ago, my boyfriend of 2 years, who I lived with and was raising a dog with, broke up with me the day after we spent Thanksgiving with both of our families, and it absolutely blindsided me and bowled me over. We had discussed marriage timelines and having children. I had gone to numerous family events with him, including his father's birthday dinner just earlier that month. Up until the day he dumped me, he was being as lovey-dovey as could be. Needless to say, I was shocked and devastated. I had to move back home, but I learned a lot about myself through healing from that breakup and even found myself feeling incredibly grateful that he broke up with me because in hindsight, the relationship wasn't a good fit. I was constantly emotionally dysregulated, and for whatever reason, I was not in a place where I could have been the one to break up with him. However, at the beginning of this year, a friend of mine alerted me to the fact that he had posted an engagement announcement, and unfortunately, I Googled his name and found their wedding website, and I found out he is getting married on our old anniversary following our marriage timeline. I think an added weirdness is that I had met her when he and I were together. They were in a larger friend group together that I was not allowed to usually hang out with or meet, but I had met at a cookout we did at our house once. I guess what I'm sitting with is, if I am grateful to not be her, if I am undeniably happier without him and with the freedom that came with our breakup, why does it bother me so much that he is getting married on our old anniversary, which will be less than 2 years since our breakup? How do I let go of this situation and stop carrying it, the anger slash betrayal, with me everywhere I go? I just feel in need of some serious big sister advice. First of all, what the fuck? When I first read this message, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, hold on. There's so many layers, right? First layer is, it will never not be insane to me. I don't care what the fucking circumstances are, to go through a breakup and then in under 2 years be engaged to be married to a whole new fucking person. Like, listen, I know we've all got differing opinions on this. I think that's crazy. I don't think that that is nearly enough time to grieve the ending of a relationship, to process and have time alone, to miraculously meet someone who is a good fit for you, to spend time with them, getting to know each other and building out the relationship to then get to the point where you're proposing to be married. Like, I just don't think that's enough time. So when I hear this and I hear that it's, you know, the same timeline that you guys always talked about, that to me says that it didn't actually matter who he was getting married to. He just wanted to be married. That makes me feel like maybe he knew you guys weren't a good fit, but he didn't want the knowledge of you guys not being a good fit to impact the timeline that he had already accepted for himself. So he jumped ship and had every intention of marrying the first woman that happened upon him in a romantic way following that moment. This to me doesn't read as finding your one true love. This reads to me as realizing something wasn't working, jumping ship, and immediately having a panic attack because you would rather just be married to anyone and follow the timeline you had in your brain rather than be single or have to accept that you may fall behind, putting that in serious air quotes, where other people around you are at in their life and how you're pacing towards the life that you thought you'd be living at this age. Obviously, you're going to be hurt. Obviously, you're going to see that and be like, ouch, right? Because you had this whole imagined future with this person. You were blindsided. In the moment, that is like so heartbreaking. You deserved more of a conversation there rather than one day everything's fine. You're having Thanksgiving with each other's families. You're so involved. He's so lovey-dovey. And then one day everything is fucking different. And in hindsight, you can look back and be like, it's actually better this way. I'm better off for it. We were not a good match. But you have to believe that that's a conclusion you could have come to eventually anyways. And you could have come to that conclusion in a way that was more respectful than how you reached it in actuality. You could have had a conversation about it. This could have been more of a joint decision. You could have been in the loop. He didn't have to blindside you. Like, you have to believe that you would have eventually learned that he wasn't the right fit for you. And it could have been discovered in a way that at least acknowledged a baseline of care and respect for each other. You're allowed to be upset at how he handled things, to also allow yourself to grow and let time and space from the situation change your opinion, to sit back and say, this was so not right for me. I'm so glad it didn't work out. And also, that hurts that in some ways you feel like he is getting to live out the life you promised each other with someone else. But the thing is that things like that don't happen overnight. I am not someone, you will never convince me of this. I will never believe when somebody goes through a breakup and then they're immediately in a brand new fucking relationship and they're like, they swept me off my feet. I'm just in love. It just happened. And now we're getting married less than 2 years later. Like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it and I never will. I'm so sorry. I think that you don't want to be alone. I just don't think that's enough time to break up, process a breakup, have the amount of luck it takes to find someone who is an actual good fit for you to explore a relationship, to do the exploring, to do the getting to know, to figure out all the things you have to figure out. Like, there are so many parts of life that I would want to go through with someone before committing to marriage with them. This is not enough time to explore all the things that I would want to explore in order to be certain about someone. Personally, there are a lot of people, again, that just don't want to be alone, that they want to keep to the timelines they want to keep to, and they will do anything at all to make sure that happens. They value something different in dating. That's fine. I can be a little shady about it, but that is ultimately fine. If that's what they want to do, if you would prefer to just be married and settle down by a certain age and you're willing to make some concessions in order to make that happen, then go for it. You know what I mean? But you choosing not to do that and him choosing to do that, in my opinion, I think there is a very clear winner in this situation, and it is you. Like, I think at the end of the day, you will be the one who continues to be better off because of this. If he wants to rush into something new with someone else to keep to this fucking timeline that he has inside his head, then fine. Let him. And you can feel good in knowing that this is clear proof that you were not compatible. He is okay with a different kind of relationship than you are. You want the real deal. He just wants to be married. Some people just want to be married. Some people don't have anything else more interesting to talk about than getting married, than being in a relationship. And it makes total sense that you would be hurt about this. And also, when we lay it all out in front of us, there is no universe where he, in the span of under 2 years, has miraculously found this picture-perfect thing to replace you in all of these plans that you made. That is not what's happening. Some people just want to be married. You are looking for the love of your life, a relationship that works for you, that sweeps you off your feet, that you feel comfortable with, someone that doesn't make you feel so dysregulated and anxious all the time, someone that makes you feel good. You're looking for the real fucking deal. He's looking to be married. So you know what? Let him be married. Congratulations, my friend. I hope you get everything you want. I genuinely, sincerely, no funny shit, I hope you get exactly what you want, because I plan on getting exactly what I want. And I think that you can feel good about that. Wish him well. Hope the marriage goes awesome. And you know what? It is a little bit fan behavior at the end of it all. Like, it's a little weird to choose to get married on your old anniversary that you had with your ex, on the same timeline that you had discussed with your ex. Like, that, it's, you've got a fan. You've got fans. You've got admirers. You've got people that saw the blueprint and loved it so much that they just tried to duplicate it. And really, I think it should just bring you so much peace, because this is fantastic evidence that you want different things, that you're okay with different kinds of relationships, that you're both comfortable with something different. And I think that you're going to live an awesome life and you're going to marry someone incredible for you, that is going to love you and make you feel good inside, that you're going to love and deeply respect. And he's going to be married. And sometimes that's all people want. So you know what? Godspeed to you. And onwards and upwards, my friend. Hi, Maddie. I've always struggled with knowing when to ask questions. Usually, I'm very scared of being perceived as nosy or asking something too personal and causing a bad reaction or trigger. So I typically refrain from asking questions about people's personal lives. But recently, I've come to realize it may make me seem aloof or uninterested. Here's a recent example. A good friend of mine has been dating this guy for almost a year now, her first boyfriend. I've met him a couple times. He's a cool guy, seems chill, but I never got to know him too much. Some of our other friends don't like him and think he doesn't treat her well enough and or is dismissive of her. I try not to judge because I don't know the guy and their relationship dynamics too well, but recently something happened where he was supposed to meet her at her house but couldn't go and she got visibly upset. I was with her the moment she got the call from him telling her he wouldn't come. I felt really bad. It really seems like this isn't the first time that happened, and I'm now worried my friends might be correct about him not treating her well. I wanted to ask her how she was feeling and why he couldn't come, but I just felt fear that she might have thought I was only asking to be nosy and gossip about it to our other friends. I ended up telling her before I left that she could message me and talk if she needed to, but I felt like it wasn't enough. Oftentimes, because of my fear of asking questions, I end up feeling like a bad friend. I wanted to hear your opinions on this. Personally, I think you should always ask the question. If someone is uncomfortable answering that question, if it's too vulnerable, too personal, whatever it is, they are well within their right to say that, to just look at you and say, yeah, I don't feel comfortable answering that, or I don't really want to talk about that right now. Can we talk about something else? That's totally fine. This is just like part of getting to know people and trying to, you know, approach more intimate conversation. People can speak up for themselves and set boundaries where they need to. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Obviously, it's good to be conscious of what other people's boundaries may be, what sensitive topics may be. Good to pick up on social cues and body language in that way. And also, we can't mind read or try to predict people's reactions before we even make the attempt at closeness in the first place. Let people speak up for themselves. Let people make their own choices and make their own decisions. I think you might be surprised to learn how many people are comfortable sharing and opening up when they are asked questions, and how many people actually want to be asked. And also, I don't think that the question you were asking is really that invasive. People can also choose to answer with as much or as little information as they want. You're, you know, witnessing a relationship conflict from the outside. You've heard things and you just want to ask her how she's feeling and why he couldn't come. I think that's like a normal question to ask. I don't even think that's overly invasive. Asking someone how they're feeling, or to ask more information about a situation that you saw play out right in front of your eyes, like that is not doing too much. That would be a perfectly appropriate thing to ask. And I wonder, because you say that you felt fear that she might have thought that you were only asking to be nosy and gossip about it to other friends, where do you get that belief about yourself? Has perhaps someone in the past, maybe this person or a former friend, said that you were nosy or a gossip and that you couldn't be trusted or something like that? Has this been something that was said about you in the past that now you are internalizing and putting walls up around yourself to try to make sure you're not this person? Is it possible that this is like an overreaction or overcorrection to something that you were told in the past? Obviously, I don't know. But if it is, consider that this is an overcorrection to taking on that feedback, or that maybe the feedback was wrong in the first place. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But I think that when we look at our friendships and the people we're trying to get closer to, asking intimate questions is, I mean, it's just a necessary part of getting to know someone better and really showing up for them. I think obviously it's good to let your friends know, like, if you need anything, I'm here. If you want to talk to anyone, I'm here. And also, I think a lot of times people won't take you up on that offer. And people want to be asked questions directly because they don't want to feel like they're burdening you or whatever by reaching out and being like, oh, can you talk? I really need someone to talk to. Like, people just want to feel like their friends are there without having to summon them all the time, which I think is a whole separate conversation in and of itself, because I think you should feel comfortable summoning your friends when you need them. And also, it is good to feel like people are just there and they pick up on the fact that you're struggling with something, and maybe it would be good to have someone to talk it out with. And like, even if you don't want to ask them super intimate questions, I think one of the questions that you had here is not intimate at all. When you're asking her how she's feeling, how are you feeling is a really non-intimate question. I think it can be if someone's willing to be brutally honest in response to that question. But that's a good place to start, to really check in on someone and be like, how are you feeling? That seemed like a tough conversation. Do you want to talk about it? Asking someone directly if they are comfortable talking more about it, if they want someone in that moment, rather than being like, if you need anything, I'm here. At a later date, feel free to text me. In the moment, being like, how are you feeling? That seemed like a hard conversation. Do you want to talk about it? And making it more of like a present moment offer, maybe that would make you feel better, so that you're actually inviting someone to set a boundary with you if they need to opt into that conversation or not. But trust that the people that you're friends with are able to set their own boundaries and speak up for themselves if they are uncomfortable talking about something. And it is totally appropriate for you to ask your friends intimate questions so that you can be a better friend to them. And also, don't beat yourself up about navigating this in the present moment and learning how to have these kinds of conversations with people. I think what it means to be a good friend looks 100 different ways in so many different friendships. What it means to be a good friend in one friendship is totally different than what it means to be a good friend in another friendship. And like, there's so much room and time for friendships to grow and evolve to being something more intimate and deeper, and more personal in that way. Rome wasn't built in a goddamn day. Like, don't beat yourself up for that. I think to be consciously striving towards being a better friend and wanting to show up for your people is like, that's the best thing that you can do. And you're already doing it. So don't be too mean to yourself. Yeah, just consider that the questions you want to ask and the intimacy that you crave with the people you're close to is not being nosy or gossip or overstepping. That's just like part of being a friend and, you know, building trust with someone else. All right, let's do one more here. Hey Maddie, I was listening to an older episode, I can't remember which, and you were explaining how staying in New York was a big priority for you, and when you went on dates and they expressed interest in leaving someday, you knew that it wouldn't work out. I'm kind of in a similar situation, but the opposite. I love traveling, and it is my dream to live on every continent someday. I've already lived in multiple states and even Europe for a short period. However, everyone I've ever been romantically interested in has either expressed that they have no desire to leave the city they're currently residing in, or they say they want to travel as well, but then when the time comes to move, they freak out and change their mind. I know that the idea of moving is so scary for most people, but I also don't think it's something I can ever change my mind about because it is such a big part of who I am. I'm trying really hard this year to be more intentional with my dating and look for a long-term type of partner, but it is becoming very discouraging. Should I keep dating them and just see if they or I change my mind, or should I just be alone until someone actually has the follow-through to take that leap with me? I don't mind moving alone, but the older I get, the more I wish I had a partner to share these experiences with and also to aid in some of the stress that is uprooting my life. I have been single most of my adult life and am comfortable in that, but sometimes I worry my expectations are too high for people or that I'm ending possible connections without giving them a real chance because I'm so set on my future goals. Also, I have been told to pick a home base and just travel on vacations, but that's just not really my vibe and doesn't make me feel fulfilled in the same way. I am a nomad at heart. It makes total sense to me that people have told you that because this is what people say to anybody who has like a clear vision of what they want for themselves. They tell you to settle. They tell you to be more reasonable, to shrink what it is that you expect. But I'm going to tell you that I don't think you should change any of it. And if you want to find someone who wants to live this nomadic lifestyle with you and move around constantly throughout your life, then I think you should wait until you find someone who wants to do that with you. I don't think you should compromise whatsoever. I think it is a good thing to know so certainly what you want for yourself and for your life. And obviously flexibility is a good thing, but that doesn't mean giving up everything that you want. I think the word compromise has gotten a fuck ton of fucking PR. And I think we've also lost the meaning a little bit. Compromising absolutely does not mean throwing away everything that you want out of life, all of the things that you've dreamed of when you picture your future. I don't believe that compromise means giving up those things, the big things like that. If you want to spend your life with someone who doesn't want to settle down in one place and wants to travel a bunch and move around a lot, then I think you should wait and hold out until you find someone who is a right fit for you. Now, I think the hard part about being so clear on what it is that you want and the visions that you have for your future is that it is going to be harder to find that person. You're working with a smaller pool of people, but that's okay because ultimately when you do find the right person for you, it's going to make so much more fucking sense and make you so much happier. And I think it's a great thing that you're also comfortable doing this shit alone. I think the reality is you might end up meeting someone through your travels rather than dating in one city and staying here being like, I've got to find this person before I set off to do this thing. You might meet someone while you're doing the thing, while you're traveling, while you're moving about. Maybe you enter some type of community or you're in a group of people that love to do travel stuff. And maybe you book a group trip or two. There's plenty of group trip options out there. Seeing a new place and meeting a ton of new people that like to travel at the same time. Who knows? You might meet someone who has the same vision of what they want out of life that you do while you're already fucking doing the damn thing, rather than waiting around finding someone who wants to do it with you before you ever start it. You know? But I totally understand why you would be longing to have this person to share in those experiences with and to adjust and explore the new places with, to have something more solid and concrete while living a life that is so, you know, fluid and ever-changing. It's nice to have parts of your life that are consistent and help to ground you. It makes total sense to me why you'd be like really longing for this person and hoping to meet them now so you can get started on this like vision of a life that you have. But I think the reality is because it is so specific, it might take longer to meet that person. But just because it might take longer to meet that person doesn't mean you should compromise what it is that you want right now or down the line. I think that you are well within your right to want this kind of life and this kind of partnership. Yes, it is specific. Yeah, a lot of people probably won't want to do that, but that's okay. I honestly think that sometimes it's just accepting that it's going to take a little longer. It is a smaller pool of people, but that's okay. And honestly, it's a really great thing to be so clear and so specific about what you want. And don't let other people get in your head about that. Listen, there will be many people out there that encourage you to settle, that encourage you to just take what you can get, to, you know, find this person that is good to you and then mold your life around this person rather than building a life for yourself and then finding someone that fits within that life. This is what more and more women are doing, okay? We're not waiting for a partner to build the life we want. We're building the life we want first and then finding someone who fits into that afterwards. It's a different timeline. It's gonna take longer, but you will be ultimately happier in the long run. So don't settle, don't compromise. I think that this is a totally reasonable thing to want, and your someone is out there. You just have to be patient. And sometimes it's going to suck. Sometimes it's going to suck so much, and you're going to doubt that they're out there, and it's going to be hard. And there are going to be moments where you do just want to settle. But at the end of it all, you're not going to. You're going to hold out. You're going to prioritize yourself and living the life that you want. And eventually, you will meet someone who wants the same things that you do. Promise. Pinky promise. And I'm a beacon of truth on this subject because I am the emotionally online resident romantic. Okay. So I said what I said. I literally, like, it's written into law at this point, basically. All right. I'm going to throw it on over to the post show now, where I'm going to talk a little bit more about my experience flirting last week, as well as some other hot takes and reflections that I've gathered up from a week of consuming content online. So if you're interested in hearing more about my flirty summer and the vibes that have been going on over here, feel free to join us over on Lover Girls HQ. The Patreon will be linked in the description down below. And regardless, I will see you guys next week for a brand new episode. Mwah!
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.